Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison, and I am here with Dave Cribb.
Hi, hi. What was the pause for?
Drama. Theatre.
All right. You hadn't forgotten the name of the podcast.
No.
Much like I think Ross forgets Rachel's name in this episode, which seems implausible.
Yeah, I think having done, I've lost count of how many episodes of this we've done, but we've done plenty.
We must be pushing like 20 now, yeah.
Yeah, at least 20, yeah. what's going on?
What's a crack-a-lackin'? Do you know what, Pete? I'm topically, but annoyingly, full of a fucking cold.
Oh.
Can you hear it in my, can you hear it? I'm a bit prime of lime.
The prime of lime?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a bungy nose, and so I think I can say the word fine, but fine. Yeah, I can say the word
It's real
fine.
Dedication to the contents of this episode to intentionally get a cold just to recreate Monica's state.
I know, people. The amount of people I had to interact with.
Did you just call me people?
Did I call you people?
You said, I know people.
No, did I? That seems like a weird thing for me to have said.
It does, doesn't it?
Cannot
I'd say I'd
that.
Rewind, but I can't do that. So
no, because that's not how life works.
Yeah, because this is live, isn't it? We're actually doing that right now.
Just rewind my day and just see what happened. That would be a good little feature, wouldn't it?
Which episode request have we got?
I am going to read you the request, and the request is incredibly visual, and it's probably one of my favourite request formats we've ever had, Pete, is what I would say.
Oh, okay.
So Mark says, hello, and then there's an image
right
of Hank Azaria, and then the word and then there's an image of Jon Favreau.
David and Pete.
Exactly. Hello, David and Pete. And yeah, I will. I never usually enjoy a David, but in this context, I will.
Are you technically a David?
Yeah.
Okay.
By birth, but nobody, not even my mother, has called me David for at least 15 years.
Same for me and Peter.
Yeah. And apart from, actually, fucking idiots that send me emails sometimes, replying to ones where I've signed off as Dave to the email address DaveCribb at whatever, you know. And still go, hi, David. I'm like, I'm almost tempted to never interact with you again based on this, because that is poor.
Right. Well.
Anyway, that's just my little bugbear, guys. Love the show. Long-time listener. One-time correspondent / quizzed. First-time requester here. Oh, I like your stats. Can we make that a thing for requests?
Hang on. Say that again.
Long-time listener, one-time correspondent, one-time quizzed, first-time requester.
Okay, so this is completing the set, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Like that.
Yeah, absolutely. The EGOT of the Friends with Friends world.
You're the Viola Davis of Friends with Friends. Well done.
But if I sent you that in a message, I would put a photograph of an instrument rather than the name. Please can we have season 6, episode 13? When you say please can we have, do you just mean we, the masked listeners, or are you talking on behalf of other people? Anyway, you can't answer. This is not how life works again. The one with Rachel's sister. Mainly because, A, Reese Witherspoon, great. Up there with best guest stars. Oh, we can debate that. And B, apartment pants. Yes, apartment pants. Other 1.5 storylines aren't loads to shout about. Not sure how I feel about Monica and the vapor rub. Well, do you know what, Mark? I hope you don't feel like Chandler does about it, because that's inappropriate. Quiz to follow. Just wanted to get this request in. Cheers, fellas, and I guess how he signed off.
A photo of Mark from Friends.
With a photo of Mark from Friends.
Correct. Okay, fine. Good. What did you just ask me?
About the quiz.
Oh, yeah. He didn't follow up with the quiz.
I mean, what you've done there, Pete, is take away some of the jeopardy for that bit of the podcast later where I go, let's play a sting and see if there's a quiz on the other side of it.
Do you reckon that's the main reason people listen to this podcast?
I would have thought that little cliffhanger at the end, Pete. Yeah. Do you know what? Still going to fucking do it.
Okay, fine.
Even though you've ruined it, frankly.
Ruined it. Sorry, everyone.
You ruiner. Would you like a synopsis, Peter?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. You sounded genuinely pleased then, actually, which I don't know if that's true. Season 6, episode 13, The One with Rachel's Sister. 2255563, let down at the end there. But that does mean there is 225566 coming up, which is a very pleasing production code, isn't it?
It is. I do like that.
Joey uses his position as a waiter to give all the pretty female customers free things at the coffee house, but quickly gets in trouble with Gunther. Monica refuses to admit she's sick when she gets a cold, and Rachel's sister Jill shows up after their father cuts her off and now has to make it on her own. Where do you want to start? I'm going to suggest the plot that has almost nothing to discuss, which is Monica being ill.
Yeah, okay, let's do that. The old vapor rub.
The first thing I'd say is Monica says she hasn't been ill for 3.5 years, yet we know she caught Phoebe's sexy cold only 2 years ago.
Oh, that's a level of detail that even I would never have picked up on.
I honestly was watching this going, once you get beyond I'm Fine and Prime of Lime, which frankly are excellent, like, quotes to grab in almost daily life, I'd say.
Yeah.
But past that, this storyline is quite, it's not weak, it's just quite nothing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Courtney Cox's coldy acting is quite good. The nasally voice is convincing.
It actually is so good that it makes me feel a bit uncomfortable.
A bit gross.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like a bit grossed out, yeah. And especially because I've been developing this cold over the last couple of days myself in preparation for this episode. Mm. When I heard her, my eyes almost started watering. I was like, oh, this is... I am really like... You do get the impression she's right bunged up, and I think she's very good at it. But ultimately, when you strip it down and rub vapor rub on it, it's just a storyline about an ill woman trying to force someone to have sex with her, yeah, against their will, which is kind of weird, isn't it?
I think it'd be hard to have sex with someone covered in Vicks vapor rub. Like, you'd end up all tingly.
It's not sexy, is it? No, it's logistically tricky. That smell's going to permeate.
Yeah. I do love that smell, but I wouldn't want to shag it.
Well, exactly. It's not a smell I associate with pleasure. Like sort of sexual pleasure.
And you know that scene where Rachel comes into the apartment and they're in the bathroom putting vapor rub in some places, or however they express it.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they're putting it on, like,
finish that sentence.
Well, like, if you put vapor rub on your bollocks, that would like...
No, that'd be horrible.
That would not be comfortable.
Agreed. I don't think vapor rub's meant for any sort of genitalia.
Because it's a bit like Bernie, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like putting, what's that thing called? Deep heat.
Yeah.
Like, just rubbing deep heat all over yourself.
You should not put vapor rub or deep heat on your penis.
But it does seem like they've unlocked some sort of strange new kink, doesn't it? Because once they...
Or burning.
Once they have vapor rub sex, then this is now the second...
Vapor rub sex!
This is now the second scene where they're sort of using vapor rub within their sex life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Use it as a loop.
Oh, no.
it does have a sort of Vaseline-esque consistency.
Are we gonna
but
have to...
comes with a side serving of, I imagine, quite intense burning.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't... Right, look.
That's a bit like... if the pain is part of the thrill, then that is a dark kink that I don't really want to get into.
Right. Maybe if pain is your kink. But if you're losing that... all I'll say is, let's leave this here, but if you're losing that... why can't I say using that as lube? Then there's a lot of... That's then becoming an internal rub, isn't it? Which cannot be good for Monica.
No.
I think the problems are extensive enough as an external rub in the wrong places. I don't think you want to be ingesting is the wrong word. But what is...
That is not part of that part of the body's function. But
but you know what I mean.
Also, I think, you know the scene where Monica sort of claims that she's using it innocently and she's applying it and then Chandler gets turned on by it. I think there's one cutaway of Chandler being turned on by it that is not in the televised episodes that I've seen of this episode.
What, where his sort of lips are shaking? And
there's he goes up a level in horniness. I think that bit's been cut from versions of this episode I've seen before. Somebody might be able to tell me whether they agree with me here. But there was that scene lasts about 10 seconds longer than I remember it lasting.
Right. As if some sort of sensor has gone.
Yeah, they've gone, all right, he's too horny here.
Yeah, level one horny good, level two horny bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Vix got in touch and was sort of like, we think the level of horniness displayed here doesn't align with our product values, and we do not want Vapor Rub to be associated with sexual pleasure.
And presumably, given this is, you'd imagine, not product placement, because why would you want your product placed there?
Yeah.
They're getting some great, great publicity out of it. Where's the great publicity? They're getting publicity out of it.
No, what's the word? What's the phrase? No such thing as bad publicity.
Hmm.
Which seems like a strange week to say that, because...
It does.
I think we've... Yeah, but, if they didn't buy some sort of advertising slots around this episode when it aired on television, they've missed a trick. Imagine that ad break after Monica's done that, and the first thing up there is Vicks Vapor Rub. Wouldn't you just be like, smashed it? And suddenly a whole country was horny and it didn't know why.
Horny and tingly.
Horny and tingly. Anyway, Prime of Lime and Find are, they are very much working their way into my daily routine still, 20-odd years later. The only other thing I'd like to point out before we move on from this, when Monica is trying to coax Chandler into bed, and she says, paging, what does she say?
Oh, I don't know, I didn't clock it.
Well, I had the subtitles on for the first time, and this is the first time that I saw what I think it's supposed to be, which is paging Dr. Bing.
And what does she say?
Well, because of her nasal delivery, the N gets lost completely. And I always sort of assumed it was a weird sex show. You know, like on the phone, when the one where everyone finds out, it's like, you know what your nickname is, Mr. Big? I was like, is this like is Dr. Big? Has he been promoted? Has Mr. Big been to medical school?
He's qualified.
Yeah, exactly. Because that does seem like the sort of point at which she would try and introduce a sort of sexy nickname into proceedings, you know? But the subtitles say Dr. Bing, which is frankly underwhelming. This is the whole ticker tape parade all over again. That's just a line, otherwise. It's not a joke, you know? But yeah, anyway, I'd be interested to know what people think that line is supposed to be. Shall we move on to Joey?
Yes.
Joey's working at Central Perk, right?
And has picked up some incredibly fast maths.
Yeah, the fast maths, absolutely true. The fast maths comes from a scenario that I don't think any human has ever been involved in. Have you ever, in all your time on this planet, received a bill where the waiter walks over and reads the whole thing out to you, itemized by person?
And equally, in a cafe, you'd already have paid, surely.
Yeah, it's such a weird fucking scenario that he's like, right, here's what everyone owes to the cent.
Yeah.
As if, and the total's like $12.
Yeah, surely I did think that was so of its time, wasn't it? You could get all of that for like a tenner.
Yeah. Surely one of them's just picking that up, you know, going, oh, I'll get this today. And how they don't have some sort of, frankly, invoicing system set up with Central Perk already, like a direct debit. Like, you wouldn't want to be fucking settling that bill seven times a day, the amount of times they drink there.
Also, Joey's flirting is, like, supposedly legendary. And then we get a few glimpses at it in this episode where his flirting's just really naff.
It's bad, isn't it? I thought that. I don't think this showcases Joey very well at all on the whole, does it?
No.
Also, why is he getting more dates? He says, I'm getting more dates than ever. And this is no disrespect to anyone in their 30s working in a coffee shop, but that guy's been on television. How is he getting more dates now than when he was literally on telly?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Like, what is it about this particular scenario that means he's so attractive?
Is this an entire... We're treating, like, Joey in the Central Perk action is a subplot in this, right?
Well, it's the third plot, I guess.
Yeah, this episode really is all about Rachel and her sister, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the main bulk of it, certainly. But this is like the C plot, I guess, isn't it? Because, you know, we do keep cutting back to it. He's got giving away all his free muffins, and then he starts the happy birthday bit, then Gunther gets off. You know, there's enough to certainly categorise it as not just a little throwaway bit, I think.
I do like Gunther's line of, you are no longer authorised to distribute birthday muffins.
I made that exact note because I think that's one of the like most underrated lines in all of Friends. I think that's such a funny line, just the way it's written and the way it's delivered is so brilliant.
Yeah,
it's like good. Yeah, I think it's a bit of perfect like scripting and acting that just like Gunther's deadpan delivery of that line makes me laugh out loud like every time I watch that. Superb. 10 out of 10. We like to criticize Friends sometimes, don't we, Pete? But we also like to say when it's excellent.
It's a good line.
I tell you what, the thirsty women of Greenwich Village are really thrilled to save what at this time was about $2.50.
Well, exactly. We already know that they're not really saving that much money anyway.
They're so pleased to not have to pay like a bit of pocket change for their coffee that they're all willing to date Joey.
Also, if this surprise discount was one day withdrawn, I think in my head it'd be like, all right, fair enough, I've had the last few for free. Whereas right. She's like, I thought I got free muffins. It's like, all right, mate.
I thought that.
Pay for it.
To consistently expect stuff, you can absolutely fuck off. Like, any interaction like that where somebody gives you a free thing is a bonus in life, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Like, I have a couple of like bars I go to in London where if the right person is working, I will get free drinks. But every time it happens, I'm thrilled. I never go in expecting it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the idea that if someone wants to try to charge me, I'd be like, excuse me, I don't pay for stuff here. I'd like, what an absolute dick move from that woman.
Agreed.
I mean, this whole storyline is very early 2000s, isn't it? It's basically just Joey objectifying women and trying to sort of coax as many people on dates as he can with free merchandise. No, what's the word? Products.
Free stuff.
That's the word, Pete. That's the bloody word. One of my favourite other underrated lines that actually gets used more often than I realised. Almost to the point where, you know, when a Friends quote just becomes something you hear someone say and you forget it's from Friends, is when Phoebe sort of has a go at Joey for it and then he offers her a free muffin and she just goes, a free scone, sorry, and she goes, I'm pretty.
Yeah, yeah, that is good.
That is such a nice little niche
reference.
Do you know
something else? Oh, this is from a different Friends episode, but I'm going to mention it now based on the fact that you've just said about things that like happen in Friends and you overlook the fact that that's where they originated. I thought the other day when I had a few friends over and I bought a couple of bags of ice.
Yes.
And isn't it weird how like the idea of buying lots of something in preparation for stuff now like feels so attached to Phoebe and cups and ice.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I don't know, being over-prepared for something when you're buying stuff is like, I don't know that that would ever register in my head if it wasn't for Friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even over-prepared, it's just buying, like, just being in charge of ice, for example. Do you know what I mean? Just the idea that, like, buying more than one bag of ice, and you're like, I'm in charge of ice, cups and ice feet. You know, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Ah. It's such a weird thing, because that is just a thing you do in regular day-to-day life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you bought two bags of ice, was that enough, was it?
It was more than enough, because I've still got a bag left.
Bloody hell, babe. Well, I got a new ice machine this week, actually.
Of course you got an ice machine.
But what a second, my last one broke, so it's my actual...
What were you doing with it?
I don't know, making too much ice, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
To be fair, there is quite a limit to what you can do with an ice machine.
Yeah, I hadn't like poured it. I mean, the instructions do explicitly say when you get an ice machine, don't put any liquid that isn't water in, and I'd never thought about doing it, but reading the instructions really makes me want to try, you know?
Yeah.
Chucking some like...
Lemonade ice.
Milkshake or lemonade, exactly. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
I saw Khalees perform Milkshake live on Saturday.
Were you a Hoopla, were you?
Yeah, I was. Just
nice.
That in there. Yeah.
Oh, lovely. How was it?
Yeah, it was good.
I went to Beyonce on Saturday.
Did you?
Did you get to
I saw Kelly Rowland.
Yeah, I was going to say. Who's anyone see Michelle this weekend?
Yeah, between us, we saw 2/3 of Destiny's Child.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Like, I love Mighty Hoopla. It's a fucking great day out, right? But... as a side-by-side comparison for Kelly Rowland, to know that while she's playing a sort of small to medium regional festival and across the way, her old pal is playing...
one of many nights.
100,000 people, 7 nights in a row. Yeah. For incredible amounts of money. Because everyone at Beyonce was like, Kelly Rowland's in town. Maybe she'll pop up. I was like...
but she didn't, did she?
Well, no. I mean, she was very much on stage at the same time.
Yeah, she could have popped up on another day and seemingly wasn't so far.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, we digress.
I just think that would have been... if I was Kelly Rowland, I'd be like, I don't need that for my ego.
Yeah.
I don't need to go, this is what you could have won. But anyway, moving on. To Jill.
Can I stop and have a wee? I'm desperate for a wee.
Well, why don't we play one of those little stings and you can have a wee?
Okay, you do that. I'll be back in a sec.
Bye.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I am back.
How was your wee?
Textbook.
Textbook. Take some vapor rub in there with you?
I did not know. I do have some vapor rub, but I don't use it for that. Yeah.
No, please don't. Yeah. Do we even need to, I mean, we might even need to put some sort of medical warning on this episode. Mm-hmm. Please do not follow the ideas you hear in this episode. I mean, actually, we should put that on the front of every episode, frankly, because I don't think we
I'd ever... hope that this is not where people get their inspiration to try various things.
Certainly not medical advice.
Yeah.
Like, that's worrying. To Jill?
To Jill.
To Jill we go. One of my favourite bits in all of Friends, and I know it's a bit that's sort of a bit of a meme, but the bit when Jill knocks on the door and
they all look around. Confused, yeah, that's really good, isn't it?
Phoebe starts counting them up. Is just those little meta bits, and this is like six seasons in. I know they've had a couple of little things, like when they all walk into the coffee shop and there's just loads of people sat in their normal seats and they're a bit like, oh. You know, like the little bits like that where there's that insight into this would definitely happen more than they let it show in real life. But I just really enjoy that moment.
Yeah, so I like that those moments are used so kind of sparingly because it makes them even funnier.
Yeah, no, definitely. I love that they've waited six seasons for that, frankly, you know?
I also thought with the presence of Jill, who I think is great, it's a shame we never saw Amy, Jill and Rachel together, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was a sort of scheduling nightmare with three of the biggest actors, you know, like getting them all together in one, but it is a shame. Also, when Phoebe says, this is a spoiled one or the one that bit her, like, aren't they just both horribly spoiled?
Yeah. Also, Phoebe having a goldfish in her bag is a great little moment in these scenes.
That is a little, just completely old. I thought of that. That is such an old frenzy, just a bit that goes nowhere, but it's just a bit of an insight into Phoebe's life and personality, and they don't do that as much as the show develops, do they? But I just really enjoy that they spent probably a good 45 seconds of Phoebe just rooting through her bag,
yeah,
and then pulling out a goldfish. It was such a nice little throwback to the things they used to do in the early seasons that I really like, and it's so Phoebe, isn't it?
I like the storyline. I also like the role that Phoebe has in it, because there's a couple of really nice moments, like when Jill says, oh, I don't know how to thank you guys, and Phoebe says, ah, I like cars. Like, that's really good too.
Yeah, so Jill's been cut off. Although, so here's my question. Can you just walk into a shop and say some credit card numbers?
Yeah, I made that note as well. So she doesn't have the credit card that her dad used to pay the bill for, but she's memorized the numbers of her dad's credit card. So therefore, you know, like when you're buying something online and you have to type everything in, she's done that, but in person.
Right?
Mad.
So, and I know it is possible sort of technically, because sometimes if a card doesn't swipe in the old days, then they would type it in on the machine. But I would have thought the interaction where you say to the person at the till, I don't have my card, but I know the numbers, would ring such a fraud alarm bell.
Yeah.
That they'd be like, that's a bit fucking weird, mate. Like, what the fuck are you playing at? And she seems to have gone to multiple stores and done this and bought quite expensive stuff.
Like apartment pants
and something from Tiffany. Like, she's bought quite a lot of stuff, hasn't she?
She has, yeah. She's done a good haul. And then Rachel lets her off it because she's like, oh, everybody's allowed like one slip up, that kind of thing. Well, it's a pretty big slip up because she's bought a shitload.
She has, but you know why Rachel lets her off that, Pete? And this is a really nice bit, because that scene is almost shot for shot the scene when Rachel arrives in Manhattan before the friends force her to cut up her credit cards.
Yeah.
And she goes on a big shopping splurge.
Look how far Rachel's come.
Look how far she's come. So I think Rachel has empathy for Jill's situation there. And I think that is nice. And I like the sort of semi-improv scene of Ross and Phoebe trying to cover for Jill. That's cute, isn't it?
Yeah, that is good.
First time Ross has heard of a pashmina. Is that the first time I ever heard of a pashmina when watching this episode? Probably.
Possibly.
Like, it feels like I can't quite work out the context of whether pashminas were just breaking into the mainstream then, you know, Western mainstream or not. But it seems to be delivered in that way, doesn't it? Like, Ross, living in the middle of New York, had never heard of one.
Yeah, whereas Rachel has her finger on the pashmina pulse.
Exactly, the pashmina pulse. The best of all the pulses. Mm. I think Ross shouldn't be flirting with Jill.
Obviously fucked up that either of them are flirting with each other, isn't it?
Yeah, that whole scene where Rachel leaves and they start doing the little giggly 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 is like Phoebe's right to clock it and flag it up, because that is out of town.
It kind of makes sense that Jill would feel like it's something she can do because of sort of sense of entitlement and and things like that. But Ross, needs to be more aware of how fucked up this is.
Yeah, well, again, and I think in fairness to Jill, I mean, she is absolutely mad, but when she sort of says, oh, I hadn't even thought about Ross that way, I do believe that, you know, that you can watch that interaction back and go, Jill is just thrilled to have the little blue bag still, you know?
And I love that scene where, you know, Rachel's all excited because she's pitched the idea of apartment pants, and then Phoebe comes in and, as a good friend, warns her that she puts it as having seen a spark, doesn't she? And then Rachel's spiraling to Ross marrying Jill is great, and Phoebe following up with, great news about the apartment pants, huh?
I think that little Jennifer Aniston meltdown moment is really good. So well done.
She's brilliant
in
this whole episode, to be fair.
Yeah, she really is, actually. She deals with this so well. My question about the apartment pants is, Rachel says, oh, I pitched them to my boss and she loved them. What's she pitched?
Well, in my head, it's like apartment pants are like joggers, right?
But they existed then, Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we to believe that Rachel has invented jogging pants, sweatpants?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, what? I don't know what she thinks apartment pants are.
Designer apartment pants.
Right, okay, fine, yeah. But I was like, oh, I've pitched them. I was like, what the fuck have you pitched? You just looked at some trousers, got told they were called apartment pants. And then, like, I would have thought if Rachel's boss has any sort of nouse about her, she would have gone, and what exactly differentiates these apartment pants from regular pants? Then we get into this whole palaver where Rachel inadvertently persuades Jill to ask Ross out.
Yeah, I like the whole, the girl who tried too much too fast.
Oh my God, that's the best line in the whole episode.
What happened to her? She died, Jill.
She died, Jill. The delivery of that line is so perfect. It's so believable that, like, the character is scrambling around for a really impactful thing to try and teach her a lesson.
Yeah, and it continues as well because of the whole, when Jill shows her the outfit she plans on working and Rachel says it's kind of slutty. Yeah, well, I'm a slut. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's great.
I know. Rachel can't, like, catch a break in any of this, can she? Everything she tries just falls completely dead.
Well, she's kind of like a victim of her own old behaviour, isn't she?
Yeah, right. Jill is, I think, a lot of this is Jill reflecting old Rachel, you know?
Yeah.
From the spoilt to the shopping spree to the getting in, flirting with someone, having a bit of a, you know, like arriving in Manhattan. This whole thing, it is sort of 5 years later all over again, isn't it? Just Jill's 5 years behind Rachel in terms of where she is in her life, I guess.
Yeah.
What I would say in defense of Jill, though, is Ross is a geek. She sort of categorizes him as a geek, and it's like, no, he's not. You know, it's like, no, he fucking is.
He's a professional geek.
That's not a bad thing, but he very much is a geek, you know?
Yeah.
Don't flirt with Jill, Ross. Certainly, if you have flirted and then convinced yourself implausibly that Rachel is okay with this, don't meet at the coffee house.
Yeah.
Why is Ross so surprised that Rachel is at the coffee house?
Yeah, needs like, to
pigeons
needs to
faster
be
than
more
you,
strategic
Ross.
There. Yeah,
yeah. Like she's always there, mate. Don't arrange to meet her sister for a date at the place where you know she always is. But then, having gone on the date, Christ, what's Rachel doing? Going to watch it from across the street?
Yeah, she's putting herself through it, isn't she?
Talk about torturing yourself. It's bad enough when, like, in that sort of situation, if you're imagining people on a date having a good time, to actually fucking watch it. I can't. That's awful, right?
Yeah.
I just think. And, you know, obviously, we get the to be continued. There's no tag scene on this episode, so it's a sort of strange mid-season cliffhanger that...
Yeah, no post-credits.
No.
Well, not post-credits.
I mean, this is episode 13, so this would be literally the mid-season break, I guess. But still, like, it's not enough of a cliffhanger for me to give a shit, you know?
Yeah, I was a bit sort of taken by surprise when it just suddenly ended.
Yeah. I do really like, talking of little speeches, like Rachel's meltdown earlier, I love Chandler's little speech when he's scrambling around after he says, oh, he's going to get some of the glare, you know, and tries to pull that all the way back. And I love watching him struggle, pause, take a beat, and just go, well, I'm off to bed. And the way he delivers that is so good. And that's where we leave it, isn't it?
That's where
the cliffhanger occurs. Hey, Pete.
Yes.
Should we play a sting and see if there's a quiz on the other side?
Yes.
I can't wait for this.
It's very intense, isn't it?
The jeopardy is real. Oh, my God. So, what are we saying?
We don't have a quiz.
See you next week.
we do not have a quiz, but do you want to do your thing in the comments for next week's episode?
Yeah, we don't have a quiz next week either. Is that what you're telling me?
I believe so. Hang on. Let me definitively check before we start throwing these bold claims around about quizzes. So
you made so many noises there, Pete. Honestly, that was a roller coaster. I just let you make noises.
Okay, so Charlie has requested season 8, episode 8, the one with the stripper.
Yeah, oh good. Have we not done that before?
It's not the one with Danny DeVito.
Oh,
it's
which
a different
one?
Stripper.
Oh, the stripper, the bachelor party, the emergency stripper. Yeah, sorry, I forgot about that. Yeah, good.
Now, Charlie did send a quiz, but the link to it has now expired. So, Charlie, resend your quiz.
Yeah, frankly, Charlie, the idea that you would put an expiry date on a Friends with Friends request is quite frankly naive.
Yeah, the link no longer works.
No, you did request this in, I think, the year of our Lord, 1926. So thank you for that. But we have finally got around to it. Please do send a link on the internet now rather than your original quiz when you sent it in the 20s.
Or if you can't be asked, just say, I have a quiz, and then we'll get someone else to do a quiz.
Well, if they've already made a quiz, Pete, come on, is there?
Yeah, but she might not have it anymore.
Well, look, this is something we can't continue to discuss without Charlie's input, frankly.
Yeah, that's fair.
Away we go. Goodbye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.